Luke chapter 13, and let us read verse 6. He spake also this parable: a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it, and if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. The 13th chapter of Luke, I think, is a favorite portion of the Word of God for preachers. I think I spoke on this chapter numbers of times before I noticed that there are three great themes or three great dangers of the unsaved in this chapter. In the parable we've read together, we have a solemn reminder of the possibility of sinners being cut down. Later on in the chapter, we have the thought of the closed door. When the master of the house will rise up and shut to the door, and men will stand without knocking, seeking admittance, but there will be none. In the closing part of the chapter, we have the solemn announcement of the Lord Jesus concerning Jerusalem, that your house is left unto you desolate. So here are three dangers that the unsaved are exposed to: the danger of being cut down in one's sins, the danger of being left behind when the Lord comes, and the door of mercy closed eternally. And then, of course, there's a solemn possibility that God may cease to deal with sinners when they reject His word, as Jerusalem did of old. They rejected the Lord Jesus, they rejected His message, and so they were left. Your house is left unto you desolate. I can hardly think of anything more solemn than for a sinner to be left alone by God. For He said, My spirit shall not always strive with man. I mean, back to the book of Kings, we read of Solomon. And Solomon speak of cedar trees, the tall, lofty cedars of Lebanon, and he spoke of the hyssop that grew out of the wall, and he spoke of beasts, and he spoke of fowls, he spoke of creeping things, and he spoke of fish. On this chapter we have a greater than Solomon speaking. There's a great variety in this chapter. The beginning of it yields of current events, and then he speaks to us by a parable. And then we have a miracle in this chapter as well. And furthermore, in this chapter, he uses a simile, and he uses a metaphor. He goes to the vineyard, and he goes to the garden, and he goes to the kitchen, and he goes to the stable. He speaks of wild beasts, and he speaks of domestic beasts. He speaks of animals, and he speaks of fowls. A great variety in this chapter that the Lord used. I marvel at the aptness of the Lord Jesus to take advantage of situations to bring forth a solemn message, as when the occasion at the feast in the following chapter, when one said, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. And the Lord Jesus spake the parable of the supper, showing that there are many invited that would never partake of the blessing of the gospel, would never eat bread in the kingdom of God. Now let us look at this parable that we have read together. The fig tree planted in the vineyard. Previous to this, there are some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. We're not told very much about this massacre, but it would seem as if that these Galileans had been indulging in some sort of idolatrous worship and sacrifices so obnoxious to the Roman governor that he came upon them with his army, and human blood flowed to the blood of sacrifices. And the Lord Jesus, as they told him of these things in what we call current events, he said, Do you think these Galileans were sinners above all men because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Then some told him of the tower that fell when in Siloam, when 18 men were slain in the fall of that tower. Again, he posed the question, do you think these men were any worse than others that dwelt in Jerusalem because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. I don't think he meant to say that they would all perish under the sword of Pilate. Nor did he mean that they would all perish of the tower falling on them. But if they failed to repent of their sin, they could depend upon it, that in some way God's judgment would fall upon them and they would perish. We can pass the same message on to you tonight that are not saved. Repentance is a necessary thing. It means a complete turning around and viewing yourself as God sees you. Has that ever taken place in your life? Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. The way that you're traveling tonight, the life that you're living, your sins against God, are utterly contrary to all the concept of a righteous God in heaven. And except you repent, you'll all perish under the righteous judgment of God. That's what led to the speaking of this parable of the fig tree planted in the vineyard. In the Word of God, I see more reasons than one for repentance. We have one here. And then we have the parable indicating the fruitlessness, the unprofitableness of the life of a sinner, demanding repentance. If we turn to Acts chapter 17, the preaching of the Apostle Paul, he said that God commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed the day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. The fact that Christ has been raised from the dead and the preaching of the gospel of Christ is a command. All men everywhere to repent. Unless you repent, judgment is coming. All will be there who have rejected, who have refused. Now let us look at this parable for a few moments. A fig tree planted in a vineyard. Rather an unusual situation. There's no question in our mind as we consider the Old Testament passages of the Word of God, Psalm 80 and Isaiah 5, especially, Israel is a vineyard. God brought a vine out of Egypt, that is, the people of Israel planted in them in the land of Canaan, Palestine. That was his land. These were his people. He planted them there. And so Israel was a vineyard. But Israel, we're told, instead of bringing forth fruit that was pleasing to God, they brought forth wild grapes. God allowed the vineyard to be destroyed later on. God's eye still was upon it when the Lord Jesus was here upon earth. And so, he speaks of the vineyard. Now, the fig tree planted in the vineyard. I think that this would indicate personal, individual responsibility to God. A tree planted in a vineyard. A vineyard that was hedged about. A vineyard that was cared for. A vineyard that was watered, and the object of perpetual care, and a fig tree planted in that vineyard, it was the object of particular care. Here I think we have the individual responsibility of the people of Israel. And let me say that every soul is responsible individually before God. And men and women don't get saved in groups. Every soul that gets saved as an individual. He has individual dealings with God himself. And this matter of salvation, the matter of your sin and your salvation, is a matter individually between you and the God against whom you have sinned. The God that holds your breath in the hollow of his hand. The God that you have sinned against. And the God that will bring men into judgment by and by. You have an individual responsibility to the God that holds your breath in his hand. This fig tree in the vineyard was planted there. It didn't come there by choice. Let me say, you are here in the meeting tonight, not by choice. You're in this world not by choice. You're here planted by God himself. The breath you have in your body was given you by God. That soul in your body was given by God. The prophet Zechariah was a tent. God hath made us this soul. God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life and he became a living soul. And every one of us in the meeting this evening, God put a soul within our body. And you that are not saved tonight, let me try to bring before you this evening that you are represented and you may see yourself as a fig tree planted in the vineyard. He put you here for some purpose. That purpose was not to spend your life and your time and your energy and your talents in the service of sin and the devil. God had a much higher purpose in putting you upon earth than to serve sin and the devil and go to hell in the end. One of the old catechisms had the question whether the chief end of man. The answer very scripturally said the chief end of man is to glorify him on earth and enjoy him forever. That's the chief end of man. But the devil has thwarted in measure and turned men aside from the purpose in which God created them and placed them upon earth. And if you're not saved tonight, that life of yours has been an utter blank as far as any service of God is concerned. Like this fig tree in the vineyard, it was fruitless. 3 years, he said, I came seeking fruit in the fig tree and find none. I think that would correspond to the 3 years of the Lord Jesus' public ministry. And he went in and out among the people of Israel and preached the gospel and performed miracles among them. 3 years, looking for fruit. How many years has he been looking for fruit in your life? 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, whatever it may be. I want to tell you plainly tonight on the authority of the Word of God. If you've never been born again, never saved by the grace of God, there never has been one item of fruit from that life of yours to God. You say that's a strong statement to make. But the Scripture of the Word of God backs that up. And I wouldn't dare make that statement if I didn't have Scripture to back it up. For the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, we read that they that are in the flesh, that is men that have never been born again, cannot please God. A very searching, solemn statement. People see it. Is God not pleased with my kindness, my neighbor? Is God not pleased with my work, my religious doings, and all that sort of thing, doing the best I can, as men say? Is God not pleased with that? If I went with you to the book of Hosea, we'd read there concerning Ephraim, and it says of him that Ephraim is an empty vine, he bringeth forth fruit unto himself. And a great deal of the so-called good works that men perform is all to themselves, trying to fit themselves for heaven, for their own aggrandizement, not for the glory of God. I repeat what we have in Romans chapter 8, that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. It doesn't say that they might please God, but they don't do it. It says they cannot. You may take a tree. Back in the back part of our lot, there's an apple tree. It's been there for a long time. Grew up of its own accord from a seed, I suppose. And the apples are absolutely good for nothing. You can prune that tree all you like. You can fertilize it. You can do what you want with it. But all it produces are worthless apples. And so with human nature. That nature which is corrupt, inherited from fallen Adam, there is no potential in that human nature to do anything that's pleasing in the sight of God. There might be much that men will praise and laud, and men may make great attainments, and they may go high and far in religious works and activities, and men may praise them for what they do. But except a man be born again, unless the divine nature is in his soul, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. I want that to sink into your soul tonight. Some of you are trying to do something to merit favor with God. There is nothing you can do that God can accept. A fig tree planted in the vineyard, no fruit. What did the dresser of the vineyard, or what did the owner of the vineyard say? Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? Get it out of the way. Put something in its place. There's a solemn lesson here. People that are not saved have an influence on others. The older son in a family has an influence on the younger of the family. The father that's not saved sets a bad example to his children. And it might go on in that vein. That father unsaved sets an example of sin and Christ's rejection, and the sons and the daughters may follow him down the broad and crowded road to hell to accuse him in the infernal regions of the abyss. That he never taught them the way to heaven. Solemn thing to be unsaved. My heart goes out to fathers not saved and their children growing up to follow the example into the world and sin and to be lost forever. These matters are intensely solemn. But I speak to you that are not saved tonight. Let this get into your soul that like this fig tree in the vineyard, in spite of all the care of God upon you, giving you 3 meals a day, a healthy body, a lovely home, an automobile, everything nearly your heart could want. Oh, this is the kindness of God, designed that that life of yours might be devoted to him, that there might be something in it for his glory. But unsaved, God gets nothing out of your life. As barren as a fig tree. The owner said, cut it down, get it out of the way. Why cumbereth it the ground? That's the only place this word is translated in our New Testament. It gives the thought of idleness. It gives the thought of robbing of fruitlessness. A cumber on the ground. An evil influence on others. That's the thought we have here. The dresser of the vineyard said to let it alone this year also. I'll dig about it. I'll dung it, or in other words, I'll rich it, fertilize it. Leave it alone this year also. If it bring forth fruit, well, if not, after that, thou shalt cut it down. Is it possible there's someone in the meeting tonight, and God has said, cut that young woman down. Cut that man down. He's a cumber of the ground. She's brought forth no fruit to me, whatever. Take that person out of the way. Divine justice will say, cut it down. Mercy says, spare him a little longer. Give it another year. I'll dig about the roots. I'll loosen the soil. I'll loosen its hold on earth. Maybe it'll bring forth fruit. In the early 20s, 22, my wife came out as a girl from Northern Ireland. She worked for a few years. Spring of 1925, she was seized with pneumonia. Very, very sick. 4 weeks, I think, in the hospital. Then in a convalescent home for some weeks. Queenness's family connections in the old country knew about her, and her family in the Bryn Mawr Assembly invited her to come and stay with them for a while. So they took her out of that convalescent home and took her to meetings in Bryn Mawr. The late Mr. John Conaway was preaching. The first night she was there, he spoke on this parable. And he spoke of the digging around the roots. And he said, it may be someone in this meeting were similar to this. Someone in this meeting, God has been speaking to you. You've been brought down in sickness. You've been near the jaws of death. God is speaking to you. Loosening your hold on earth. She never realized how sick she was until she recovered. Going home, she said to those in the car, who told that man about me? Nobody told him about you. God is speaking. It resulted in her getting awakened. And in a June Sunday afternoon in the basement of the home, she passed from death unto life. God spoke to her through that sickness, making her to realize how near she was to death,
how near to eternity, how near to the fires of hell that she was unconscious of. God speaks once, yea twice, yet man perceiveth it not. Sinner, tonight God has spoken to you. He's spoken to you through His Spirit. You've come to these meetings, He's spoken to you. It may be some disappointment in life. It may be some accident. In some way or another, God has spoken to you, warning you of your danger. Let alone this year also. It's possible you're living in the last year. Possibly in the last months of that year. Possibly in the last days of that year. Let it alone this year also. If it bring forth fruit, well, if not, after that, thou shalt cut it down. I want to say to you, dear unsaved ones, God, I know God is speaking to you by His Spirit. I know that God has spoken to you through circumstances of one kind and another. Those disappointments, those heartaches, those seasons or those occasions when the realities of eternity came home to you, God was speaking to you, warning you that you may be cut down, fruitless as far as God is concerned. Yet in the long suffering of God, He spared you until the moment. You see what is meant by fruit, bearing fruit. If I were to turn you to the third chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, we read there on the preaching of John the Baptist, and he said, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. The fruit of repentance is one of the very first fruits that God gets any pleasure out of. There's joy in the presence of the angels of God over a sinner that repenteth. The fruit of repentance is the very first that God could ever accept. We read in the epistles of Paul speaking of the gospel bringing forth fruit in the salvation of souls. When a sinner repents of his sin and believes in the Lord Jesus, receives Him as Savior, there's fruit to the glory of God. In his life afterward, there's fruit that God can accept. But we emphasize still further this, that in your unsaved state, it's utterly impossible for you to bring forth fruit unto God. God in long-suffering is waiting. As it were, He's thinking about your roots. And the gospel of the grace of God has been sounding in your ears. As it were, enriching the soil, hoping that fruit will be brought forth to His glory. But if not, after that, thou shalt cut it down. In the third chapter of Matthew again, we read of the axe is laid to the root of the tree. Therefore, every tree that bringeth not forth fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. When we bought the piece of property on which we built our house 30 years or more ago, there are 2 or 3 cherry trees. But they never produced any cherries, never got enough off of them to even make a pie. I don't know what's wrong with them. I suffered them for a number of years. Finally, we cut them down, dug the roots out of the ground, and burned them. They are fruitless trees. Unsaved when God may see fit, if you don't receive His Son as your Savior and turn from your path of sin and disobedience to the Word of God, He may see fit to cut you down, and that soul go into the fires of hell. A fruitless branch. Oh, I appeal to you tonight, dear unsaved one. Consider the kindness of God in bringing you to the meetings. The kindness of God that has spared you these years. In spite of all the barrenness of your life, as far as God is concerned, and long suffering has spared you. But His long suffering may come to an end. I urge you tonight, in love to your soul, to consider the realities of your sin, the fruitlessness of your life. The judgment that awaits the Christ rejecter. The possibility of the sentence being passed, cut him down. Why cumbereth he the ground? May the Lord bless His word and lead it, Christ, for His name's sake.